Hello, welcome to this very special episode of The Love of Cinema. I'm very pleased to actually be joined today by someone who definitely loves cinema, writer and director Celine Sciamma. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
C'est quoi?
C'est comme les trucs d'enfant. Elle avait tout gardé.
Ça te fait de la peine d'être ici? Elle est triste.
Elle a préféré partir ce matin. On a décidé que ce serait mieux comme ça.
It's always a treat when one of your films opens in cinemas. They're so beautiful on the big screen. And I feel like we've been spoiled because it wasn't too long since your previous film, Portrait of a Lady on Fire. And I'm so pleased now that Petite Maman will be playing in our cinemas from the 19th of November. What was that period like? You know, a lot happened after Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Yes, and Petite Maman has a weird place in this moment, because it's the first time that I actually got an idea why writing another film. I'm really like a one person project. I never know what I'm gonna do next, never. And while I was writing Portrait of a Lady on Fire and promoting My Life as a Courgette, which is an animated film that I co-wrote, this idea for Petite Maman popped into my mind under the form of a very simple pitch that was: two little girls hang out and they are the same age, but one is the mother and one is the daughter. And this idea felt like really troubling, but also very peaceful. And it felt like it had a future. And I was tempted at the time, because I was struggling with the writing of Portrait of a Lady on Fire, to actually go for Petite Maman straight away. It felt like a cool promise and a film that I was like, oh, it's going to be cool living in that film, you know, because it's for years, you know. But I decided that I should wait and that this would be where I would land after Portrait of a Lady on Fire, whatever would happen with that film. And then a lot happened with that film, and especially also a lot of touring and promoting around the world. And so when this ended, it was February 2020. That's when I got back from my last trip. That's when also the film was released in UK, right? It was kind of my last release. And then the pandemic happened. And I had started writing the film a week before. I locked myself in a week before we had a collective lockdown. And I'd started writing the film, which means starting writing the first 10 sequence of the film, because that's how I do it. I buffer for the film very, very, very long in my head. And then when I start writing, I write it chronologically, starting with the first scene. And when I don't have that first scene, I don't start writing. So a lot of my writing process is about finding the architecture of the opening of the film. And that's what I'd been doing before actually we were hit by COVID. I'd been writing the first 10 scenes of the film. And so when I opened that file 2 months after 2 months of lockdown, I read that first scene, and that first scene that felt, the first scene is a collective goodbye by a kid to women in a nursing home. That scene that was very much about the film, and also that felt very personal when I wrote it, suddenly was vibrating, was charged with what we'd all been through, with impossible goodbyes to our elders passing and kids being epicenter of the at the center of this collective moment. And suddenly the film felt urgent, which was like the biggest surprise, because this film felt like this very intemporal. You know, it's not even set in a particular time, even though it's a time-traveling film. It was this very, this idea that it was timeless, and it was based around being timeless, but it is fully charged with what we've been going through and the fact that it's been, that I've been shooting it so fast and putting it out there in the world so fast, because, you know, I wrote it in... So first part, ending of February, beginning of March, and then wrote it in June, cast it in July, shot it in September, and it was in Berlin in March. So that kind of rush is totally linked to what we've been struggling with.
Wow, it sounds like even though it's an idea you've had for a little while, you know, the powers that be came together to give us the film now in such a timely, you know, scenario. That's remarkable. That process of shooting something, you know, in September and autumn last year and having it in ready to go to a major film festival in March gives me whiplash just thinking about it. What was that period like? Do you remember much about the sort of production?
Well, yes. I mean, we shot during the second lockdown in France, which means that and the film was shot in studio. So every day we were like riding toward this box where we would look at human beings maskless. And we were just, yeah, crossing this empty Paris and just go to a box where we would do film. And in a very different spirit than what we used to. Because the set was all about doing the film. It's not about social interaction. It's not even about, you know, all these things that are part of our jobs, obviously. It just disappeared. And the kids, they would just, the actors and mostly the kids, they would take off their masks just before action. And suddenly looking at a face felt different, felt sacred. And it was a very focused, very committed. We felt very privileged that we had the right to work and to make art. It's unique, but I'm sure it has changed the way I will do cinema forever, also in a way, you know, as each film does. But it felt very unique, but it also felt like we were doing the heart of cinema in a way.
Oh, wow. Were there many other productions in France at the time, or were you sort of one of the few?
No, there were a lot. And also a lot of studio shooting was happening. Also because the platforms, they are, it's really hard now to find a studio and to find even crews in France. I don't know how it is here. There's a lot of production going on. So no, cinema hasn't stopped in France.
That's good to hear. It was very uncertain during that time.
Yeah.
Are you? It's really good to hear that productions, you know, were able to go ahead. Cinema, the industry I work in, was sort of hugely affected by the pandemic, but it does seem that audiences are coming back now. Are you yourself a cinema goer? Is that how you like to watch films?
Yes, but I tend to usually, before I used to go and just watch everything. Now I'm more picky regarding my cinematic experience, and I think it's global, you know. And yes, people are coming back, but the paradox that we have in France, we can see that it's the young audience that are going back to the cinema. So obviously the blockbusters, they're getting a lot of attention. But otherwise, because, you know, it's women over 50 that make culture, that are the audience for culture, which, you know, it's a strong paradox when you look at how they are not on screens, not on books, not in books, not in, but they're the one who go, and they're not, they haven't come back. Frankly, if you look at the figures of the films that are being out in France and that are the art house blockbusters, those ones, they're in danger regarding the room. They're really in danger. We are seeing a shift there, and those people, this audience, we don't know if they're gonna come back. There's responsibility around the films we're making, also. Obviously, it's not only about, you know, Elf. It also has to do with what they've discovered, how they have new habits, how they don't feel safe in cinema. So, you know, it has a lot to do with politics. It has a lot to, it's very, there's a symphony of reason there. But we can be really, really worried, I think. And it's not a bad thing to be worried, I think, because, you know, it means we care. And also it means we're able to transform and evolve. But it's as everything right now. It's like you feel you're reading a book that is brand new and also, in a way, was already written, you know.
Mm. Yeah, it's a timeless tale there. I fully agree. It sounds like you're describing the key picture house customer as well. So we're trying to program a broad range of movies, you know, to cater for everybody. But yeah, definitely noticing certain audiences still need a bit more communication, a bit more dialogue there. But I think having films like Petit Maman is going to really help that. And finally, you know, we have quite a diverse slate coming out. All of these festival titles, which have been traveling the world, are now coming to UK cinemas. So it's a really good time to go to the movies.
It is. And it's been amazing seeing the rooms full here. And it's true that my crowd is usually very young. And the fact that they're here is obviously a great feeling.
What's it like when you see your work at the cinema, if you're going to a festival or a Q&A? Do you ever sit in and watch some of the film with the crowd?
No. I don't even check on the sound at the beginning now. I just trust. But yeah, what you see usually, you see the last 10 minutes of your film. And it's also, you know, with the experience, you think about that. You're like, okay, the beginning and the ending of my films I have to love them, because that's all I'm going to see of them for like the rest of my life. But actually, you know, when the film was released in France, we decided that we would go straight for it when the cinemas would be open. I mean, not straight for it, because there were films that had been waiting for, obviously, they had to go first and benefit from the wait. But the cinemas were still only 30% of allowance, you know, so we knew we weren't going for high figures, but we wanted to participate in that moment. And actually, the first time that I saw part of the film with a full room, not even full, it was in San Sebastian. And actually, I saw like the last 10 minutes of the film and was quite happy and quite moved. This film makes me emotional, I must say. And it makes me emotional to share it, mostly. Because I think that's the time I really got emotional, was with the time when I was with people in the room watching it and saying, okay. And so here in UK, it's the first time that I actually access full rooms.
Oh, wow.
And it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling, yeah.
I think, you know, for everybody, all of us cinema fans, we've missed that environment, you know, going to a busy screening, you know, now that we're able to do so. And there is something about, you know, being part of a large audience. I was lucky to see the film at the London Film Festival and, you know, played to sold out houses there. If you came in 10 minutes before the end, I was probably trying to hide a couple of tears from my eyes as well. You know, I was really sort of caught up in the narrative there. But yeah, it's such a pleasure to be able to do this, and a privilege. And I'm really glad that we're able to show Petit Maman to a big audience on a big screen where it deserves to be seen.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
I did, just to sort of wrap up the Picture House podcast bit of this interview, I was wondering, like you said, with Petit Maman, you had this idea a little while ago and you put it away because you're working on something else. Did you have another idea whilst working on Petit Maman for your next film?
I've been working on something, yes, that I can't really talk about yet, but I might be back soon.
Please do. Well, if you work on it the rate you worked on for Petit Maman, I'd expect a premiere in Berlin in March, please. That's brilliant. Well, it's always exciting to have one of your movies in cinemas. And listeners, I highly, highly recommend seeing this on the big screen. It's funny, you know, it's in a way, you know, it's a small story about small people, but it's also about, you know, infinite time and plays with the form, and it's really, really immersive. I thought the cinematography was so beautiful, and the production design, the autumnal colors. I also think releasing it in November is the perfect time. Like, I'm walking down the street and it looks like the leaves are the same color as they are in the movie.
It's true. I feel a strong connection to the film now that the season, that autumn is there. It's true, yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Celine, and hope to speak to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.